Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Fairhaven. How are we doing? Good, good. My name is Josh Inkin. I'm one of the pastors here at Fairhaven, and I'm excited to open up God's Word with you this morning. Before we jump in, I just want to pray, so pray with me. God, thank you for this morning. We get to give you glory and praise your name. God, I'm thankful for bringing us into this space. God, and I just pray in this next few moments together that your Spirit would speak to us, that we would be different because we came to this place this morning, and when we leave these doors, we'd be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So to that end, God, I just pray that you would stand in my body. May the meditation of my heart and the words that I speak be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me tell you a story. This was, come back with me, all the way to third grade. We had this thing called stone soup. It was less about the soup, and it was more about the boys walking the girls down the hallway, arm in arm, bringing them to the table. And I was hoping for Laura. She was the one that made my heart go a little bit. Like, she sang like an angel. I knew if she was the one that I could walk down the hallway, it would be a good day. So we were drawing names out of a hat, and then it came up, Josh and Laura, and I was like, what? And I just remember literally standing at the long hallway thinking this is the best thing ever, and we're walking arm in arm, Josh and Laura, thinking like, man, she's got to trust me. Like, she thinks I know what I'm doing in this moment. And we're walking down this hallway, and I'm like, this is the best thing ever. We turn the corner, we get into the classroom, and I do what I do. My job was to pull the chair back for her to sit down. And in this moment, I just pulled it a little too far, and you know what happened? She fell down, and it was so embarrassing in that moment. The reality is, I think she trusted the chair. Like, she knew the chair would hold. We've been using this all year long. But in that moment, she lost all trust in me. And that day, the death of marrying Laura happened. Like, literally, she trusted me, and now I don't think she trusted me anymore. I kept trying, but she was like, not you, the one who pulled the chair and made this super embarrassing. I think the reality is that some of us here, maybe all of us, one way or another, we've placed our trust in someone. And that someone has let you down or has failed you. Maybe even you placed your trust in yourself. And yet, at the end of it all, it just didn't work out. Maybe you put your trust in your money or a vehicle or your plans. And yet, those things were not designed to hold the weight of your life, then it begs the question that we all have to answer, who or what is worthy of our trust? For Laura, at first it was me, and then it ended really quickly. But who or what is worthy of your trust? The Bible has a word for this kind of trust. It's called faith. And there is this book in the Bible, Hebrews, in the New Testament. There is this hall of faith, like people after people who've gone before us, who've carried on a faith into something that was worthy of their faith. And so what Hebrews 11 says that faith is faith is confidence in what we hope for and an assurance on what we do not see. That is what the ancients were commended for. This faith isn't just this wishful thinking or this pretending like it might work out or if I just would believe just enough. The reality is that faith is a rolling the weight of your life onto the faithfulness of God. What do I mean by the weight of life? All the worries in each and every day that you hold on to, those stresses, those circumstances, those feelings of, oh, this is heavy. And then what does it mean to roll that weight, to roll that weight and place that weight onto the one who can actually carry it for you? We roll this weight of our life onto the faithfulness of God, onto the promises of God, onto what God says is true, that he is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. The Greek word for faith carries this deep meaning of trust, of resilience, like this confidence in something or someone. And the Hebrew word takes it a step further. It means to take a firm action into something. There's this trust that happens. Tim Keller once wrote that the strength of your faith is not as important as the object of your faith. The strength of your faith is not as important as the one that you put your faith in. And the question is, where do you place your faith? And so today we get to dig in Jericho just a little bit. This is the tell that we get to look at. And if you see this picture here, this picture is right now Jericho. So just imagine for the moment if we were to be on the land of Jericho. Now they had faith and trust in different things. But this Jericho is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world. It dates back all the way to the 11,000 BC. And archaeologists have seen 23 layers of history that happens here at this tell, Jericho. It is the lowest city in the world at 900 feet below sea level. This Jericho looks like this when you look at it. Just a mound of dirt, right? This is a tell. There are layers and layers of history being built. Kingdoms have come and go, war and destruction and burning, 23 layers worth of Jericho. And the reality is through this time, layers of dirt happen, but the one thing that remains is the faithfulness of God. And so if you look at this picture right here, this is a map of kind of the land. This is Tell Jericho up here. If you look over there, there's the Jordan River, and there's the Dead Sea. And then right here is Jericho. In this moment, the reality is there is this promised land to the nation of Israel. Now, what has or who is in Jericho? Is the Canaanites. The Canaanites believed in different gods. They believed in gods of the mountain, the gods of fertility, the gods of the moon, the gods of the city. And when you were to walk into the territory of the gods, then you would be in that territory. Now, the nation of Israel believed in a different god, not multiple gods, but the one true God, Yahweh, the great I am, the Lord God. This is the God who doesn't have just one mountain to himself, one city to himself. This is the God of all the land that we read in Deuteronomy 10, 9 through 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God? This is the last words Moses speaks to the nation of Israel before they cross the Jordan River into the promised land. Fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I have given you to the day for your own good. To the Lord your God belongs what? The heavens, even the highest heavens, and the earth and everything in it. What belongs to the Lord? What belongs to the Lord? Everything. So there isn't this is this. Everything belonged to the Lord. And the nation of Israel, as they come to the promised land, as they come to Jericho and have this battle here, they knew every step that they would take belongs to the Lord. And for Joshua, it kind of sets up like this in Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you step your foot. Why? Because it's the Lord's. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great rivers of the Euphrates and all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you. All the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be faithfully with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And here's the one that's probably on your, you know, mug somewhere in your house. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Whose is this land? It's the Lord's. Everything in it. And this promise is that I will be with you everywhere you step. Sometimes when I think about faith, it's not really knowing what's ahead, but also knowing who is the one that's ahead. And I think Joshua and the nation of Israel, as they go into Jericho, they knew every step they took, the land is God's. And they could trust, they could have faith that God was with them as he promised to be with him. And so we get to this place, Jericho. Jericho is surrounded by double walls, basically being a space that you couldn't get in at all. The holylandsite.com, I'm giving credit for all these visuals because that was gold this past week. But this place over the tell that you see, this would have been Jericho. And so Joshua sends out these two spies after wandering in the desert for 40 years into Jericho, kind of sneaking around, and they find rest, they find safety in a prostitute's home in Jericho, Rahab. You may have heard of her, but what I love about this is Rahab's faith turned from believing in these gods, that the gods of Jericho and the Canaanites turned to their faith into the God, Yahweh. And we see this in Joshua 2. And said to them, this is Rahab, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear has fallen on us so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Can you imagine that? They hear the stories. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. For you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. Like, there is this moment of fear. When we heard it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. She didn't see it with her own eyes, but what she did see, what she did hear, was that there is this God who's providing a way, who's faithful to this nation. And in this moment, this prostitute in Jericho, in faith, says, this is the God. And in the moment, she houses these spies, and then they go off, and in that return, mercy. And I love it because even in Hebrews, there is this idea that she, by faith, believed. And so we get to this battle. Joshua brings in, and man, they walk around this city. Can you imagine the worst plan? Like, what the world? You take the Ark of the Covenant, walk around the city, you bring some horns with you, and for days and days, for 6 days, you just walk around and you just say, peace, we'll be back. And like, there's this faith. They're like, what is this way to conquer the city? Like, there's no battering ram, there's nothing. And what are we supposed to do? And so on the seventh day, Joshua says this, that on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time, around when the priests surrounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord." And so we have at Jericho this crazy story of this battle that's happening, and then they're blowing this horn. I was practicing yesterday. I don't want to embarrass myself. I was having Hazel do it, but she was like, no, I'm not going to do it. But they blow this horn, and they're like, hey, and they shout, and the walls come down. And this is crazy. Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fall down after the army marched around them for 7 days. You know what's also crazy? Check this picture. Literally, archaeologists have dug down, and there was this mud layer that happened, and they found it away from the wall down, and when the walls fell down, at least the top layer fell down, it actually gave them a ramp to ramp up into the city and take the city that's God's. Ultimately, they could have gone in with a battle and like, I'm gonna take this city, but instead, they by faith trusted in the faithfulness, in the promise of God. And then Joshua just said, or in Joshua here in 24, then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze from into the treasury of the Lord's house. They burned the city. Are you ready for this? When I was like looking at this, this is real stuff. As you dig deep into layers, check out this picture. There is actually a ring, a layer that's burnt. Just as it has been told in the book of Joshua, there's this layer of ash in this tell at Jericho. To me, I'm just like, this is amazing. Like, this is real. Like, this is not just a story in the Bible, this miracle we're like watching on VeggieTales, right? Like the grapes coming at you, but this is actually real. Like, there is an actual ash layer that they found as they dug into these layers. And so, as we see this, it is by faith that the nation of Israel, it's by faith Rahab believed. In verse 25, it says, but Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Hebrews says it is by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. See what Hebrews is doing. He's stacking up all the greats of those who have had faith. Joshua, the nation of Israel, Rahab. And they said, Joshua trusted God. And so they marched around. Rahab trusted God. She had faith, and so she hid the spies, and God had mercy on them. Israel trusted God's promise that this is promised land, and they marched around the walls in faith, and the walls came down. Jericho, they trusted their gods. Did they help them out? No. They trusted their walls. Did that help them out? No. Because the one thing remains is the faithfulness of the promises of God every time. More and more layers show up time and time again. There's layers. And then we move. If you have your Bibles and you want to look at it with me in Luke 18. We move to Luke 18, and there is the story after layers and layers and layers built upon, nations, empires have come and gone, and now we have the story of a man who walks into Jericho who's greater than Joshua, and his name is Jesus. And so we see this blind beggar on the side of the road. And it's very interesting if you see the faith of this man in Luke 18, verse 35. As Joshua approached Jericho, where? Jericho, literally years and years later, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by," and he calls out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And the group around there is like, "Shh, stop, 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 stop talking. He doesn't want to talk to you, the blind beggar who has nothing to offer." And they rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. In the middle of what he was doing, the Son of God stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see." That's what he asked. "Lord, I want to see. I've heard of you, and I know you're able to do something in my life, and I want to see, because right now I don't. And guess what? I got nothing to give you. I'm just this poor blind beggar on the side of the road next to these big walls of Jericho that were rebuilt." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. What did this man have to trust in? Nothing. Nothing. He was just on the side of the road. And then there was Jesus. And then in the city of Jericho, adding another layer, we have this man named Zacchaeus. In Luke 19:1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name Zacchaeus. Now, this Zacchaeus guy is a chief tax collector. He was wealthy. He took your money, probably took your money, and probably took your money too. Like, in a way, after a while, you're like, "I'm not really digging this guy. I really don't want to be friends with him." And so what he is kind of like an outcast, but yet he is this chief tax collector, and he hears of this man, Jesus, who's coming. Now, mind you, if you were to think of Zacchaeus, what could he trust in? He put his faith, he put his trust in his wealth, his money. And he hears of this man, Jesus, that's coming through, and he's like, "Man, I want to see this guy." And this is what it says. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." I love this, because Jesus could have kept going. But Zacchaeus, yes, maybe short in stature, but also, yeah, trying to kind of escape the crowd who didn't love him whatsoever, because he took some of their money, was looking for this man named Jesus, wondering, "Hey, who is this guy?" There's something that he was curious about that he's heard of in the past and wanted to know more. And the sycamore tree. And so to this day, check this picture. No joke. To this day, there is the sycamore tree. And this kind of plaque right here, it says, it is estimated that this tree, called the tree of Zacharias, is 2,000 years old. And the history goes, like, today you will find this tree at Jericho. Near Jericho. Isn't that crazy? Like, this tree is there. I don't know. If you don't believe yet, I hope you see that there is some real truth that sits in the layers of these stories in history. And so Zacchaeus, he comes down at once and welcomes him greatly. And all the people saw this and they began to mutter, like, "Man, he's going to be a guest at this sinner's house. Who is this Jesus? Why would he even hang out with this sinner?" And then Zacchaeus stood up and he said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." And Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. This man too believes. This man, the Son of Man, came to seek and save the lost." Guess what? Zacchaeus could have trusted in his wealth for the rest of his life, but in that moment, he came in contact with a man named Jesus that says, I see you, Zacchaeus. I'm going to call you by name, and I'm going to come and hang out with you because it looks like you might need a friend. And Zacchaeus could have held on to all these things that he put his trust in, and in that moment, the grace of Jesus Christ came to their life, and that transformed how he lived. And so at this tell, Jericho, we see a blind man who trusted God and had gave nothing but received the mercy of God. We saw Zacchaeus who trusted Jesus even with his wealth. We saw Joshua trust God with the walls of Jericho marching around, and Rahab trusted God to protect her family. Time and time again, God showed up and was faithful. They're all different stories, different layers, but the truth is the same truth, is the faithfulness of God in their life. Faith is the rolling of the weight of your life onto the faithfulness of God. And I don't know where you are in the story, how you have rolled your weights, all the things you try to carry in this life, onto the faithfulness of God. Because this God is a God who took this nation of Israel and brought them out of slavery and parted the Red Sea. This is the same God who brought down the walls of Jericho. This is the same God who rescued Rahab and her family. This is the same God who opened up the blind eyes of the beggar. This is the same God who transformed Zacchaeus. This is the same God that raised Jesus from the dead. If he's been faithful there and there and there and there and there, then we have to ask the question, why not here in our life too? Like, why do we stop trusting him here, but maybe we trust God over here? Maybe you can have this part of my trust, but not all of my life. But he's been faithful there, 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 and there, there. Why would he not show up now? Why would he not show up in your life? And so I just ask the question, what does it look like to roll off the weight of your life and onto the faithfulness of God? And maybe the reality is you got to admit today what you've been really putting your place, your trust in. Because I don't know if you can place your trust in God fully while pretending that you've never trusted anyone or anything else. Because I know that if I was honest, I have put a lot of my trust in at least one of them, my vehicles. And just recently, I drove one to the junkyard because it just no longer worked. And then another one, the transmission went out, and I was like, hey, Father Wayne, that's my dad, hey, would you want to take this and work on it? And yes, he said yes. And then we had it. So like that failed me. I put the weight of my family in this vehicle, and that vehicle no longer worked. And I don't know about you if it's money or other things that you find that you put your weight of your life in, and maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's these other things, not just money and success and all these things, but maybe it's some other thing that you run to in the moment of feeling hurt or feeling pain or feeling confused or not yet fully trusting that God the Father is the one who's faithful, and he's promised to you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know what it is that maybe you're carrying that you just need to say, hey, I want to surrender this to God. And then maybe two is to remember that God is faithful. God has been faithful. And I think this is an act of faith, is to sit down maybe today and write in your journal or talk with somebody and just say, hey, remember when God was faithful here? And then he was faithful here, and he kept showing up here, and I didn't see him there. But now I look back, and now I see. And like, God is still faithful. He's still at work in your life. And then sometimes I believe that we just need to take a step of obedience. And I see this with Joshua. He takes the step to march around. Rahab takes that step, just that one next step to hide the spies. The beggar takes one step or shouts one thing, says, "Hey, I'm here too." Zacchaeus takes one step out of the tree and says, "Come to my house." Just this one step of obedience towards God. And then this maybe is my favorite one, because lately I just like to rest and I'm just tired. Life happens, and I think I might rest a lot this week because it's supposed to be so hot. You know, you're going to be working, and you're like, I want to rest. But what does it look like for us to rest your weight on Jesus? Because I don't think we're designed to carry the whole weight of our life. I don't think your spouse is designed to carry it. I don't think your parents are. I don't think I'm able to carry the weight of all that I am. I know I fail. I know I failed others. I know I failed Laura. Like, she trusted this thing. And I think sometimes we believe, we can say, I trust this chair is going to hold me. But never actually take that step of sitting in the chair and saying, yes, I'm going to rest and put all my weight on the one who is faithful. Sometimes we don't actually just sit down and we just talk about it. We don't actually act, but we just say, I believe, without actually putting our full weight in this chair. Now, God's not going to be the God who pulls it out from underneath you. I don't see that. You know, that's human beings. Sometimes that happens and we fail each other. But God is the one who can hold it all. And so I just ask this question, who or what is worthy of your faith? Who or what is worthy of your faith? And maybe here's a moment we can just be honest and say, I've been placing my faith, my trust in these things, and it's not working out. And God, I know that you saw this blind beggar, and I feel like one right now. I know you saw this Zacchaeus, and I need you to see me this morning too. I need you to see me in this area, in this area, in this area. And today is the day that I want to say that you, God, are worthy of my faith. Maybe that's true for you this morning. And I mean, as I thought about this all week long, and I just know the weight in this room. And it, like, I just kind of think about it. I'm like, but God is so faithful that everyone in this room, every weight that you're carrying, he's so faithful. He's done it time and time again because he loves you. He says, just come to me. Trust me. Sit in this chair and know that it's going to hold all of your story, the regrets, the pain, the successes, your family, maybe even truly, yes, your eternity. Only Jesus can do that. In a moment, we're going to sing the song, I Believe. And this is ultimately a song to declare that you trust. To say, I'm placing my full weight of my life. I'm going to roll it on to the Lord and say, hey, it's all yours, God. I can't keep doing this. I'm too tired. Pray with me. God, we're thankful for who you are, for the promises that you've made time and time again, and you've been faithful every time. We see this in the land of Jericho, God, and I believe we see this even in our own lives. Time and time again, you've been faithful, even when we haven't been, even when we haven't had faith. And so, God, I just pray for everyone in this room that coming to you saying, I have to admit that I have been placing my trust in so many things that haven't been, and I'm tired. And today I want to place my trust fully in you, maybe for the first time. That Jesus, you are who you say you are. You are the Son of God. You are the one who came into this world, lived a perfect life, never sinned, and you went to the cross. You shed your blood on the cross to once and for all defeat death and sin and darkness and the shame that we carry. For 3 days later, rise again through the power the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, to give life, to give freedom for all of us in this room. God, I just pray for the one that may not even know that, for the fact that it's true for them. May you speak to them saying it's true for them and name their name, just like you did with Zacchaeus. And I just pray for the rest of us in this room too, that maybe it's time and time again we come to the altar and we just say, God, we need you. We come to the cross and say, God, you are the only one who can satisfy. You're the only one that can hold the weight that we've been carrying, and nothing more can do it. We've tried this and that. God, I just pray in this next moment as we sing, may you hear that we believe and that you are at work and you're faithful and true. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.